Go ahead and take your Bibles, turn to Ruth. Ruth chapter 2. Get my lapel mic on. Everybody awake tonight? So far, so good. Ruth chapter 2. We'll get right into it tonight. Appreciate the opportunity to preach, and I build them up now. You know, my messages, boy, I tell you, they sit in the crock pot now. Used to, I had to flash fry them on the pan, you know. Now I get to crock pot them, and I like that. I like being able to really get in there and dig around and see what you can find. I'll tell you what, the Bible's an interesting book. And don't ever lose the awe of the Scriptures. And you ever read your Bible and you're just like, I didn't get anything. Well, you didn't read long enough. And you got to read further and longer and read more. The Bible's a great book, and it's the Word of God, and it's God speaking to us. And can I just remind us that the Bible is a relevant book. It does fit today. It's not an archaic Bible. It's not a Bible for the 17th century, the 1st century. It's a Bible that's timeless. And we ought to be thankful for that. Ruth chapter 2, we'll start in verse 14 and 17, and then we're going to actually cover the entire chapter here in a little bit. But Ruth chapter 2, I want to start in verse 14 and kind of pick into the story there, and then we'll go back, get a little history, and then get into it. Ruth chapter 2, verse 14 says, "And Boaz said unto her," and that's Ruth, "at mealtime come thou hither, and eat of the bread, and dip thy morsel in the vinegar. And she sat beside the reapers, and he reached her parched corn, and she did eat, and was sufficed, and left." Verse 15, "And when she was risen up to glean, Boaz commanded his young men, saying, let her glean even among the sheaves, and approach her not, and let fall also some of the handfuls of purpose." I like that. I like the way that that's just in our Scripture, "for her, and lead them, that she may glean them, and rebuke her not. So she gleaned in the field until evening, and beat out that she had gleaned, and it was about an ephod of barley." After we pray, I'll preach on the kindness of the kinsman, the kindness of the kinsman. Let's pray. Father, we love You, we thank You, and Lord, You've been so good to us, and Lord, to allow us to open up Your Word and to be able to preach it, God, I know that certainly within myself, God, I'm so unworthy. Lord, I'm glad that You've called me. Lord, I'm glad that You've given us a Bible. But Lord, without Your presence and Your Holy Spirit, Lord, we're nothing. And Lord, I just ask that You would use my voice tonight, that it would bring honor and glory to You. Lord, I yield myself to You, to Your will, to the Holy Spirit tonight, and ask that You would do that which I cannot do, and that's speak to Your people tonight. Lord, I ask that You would go before me now and prepare the hearts. And God, help us to be not hearers, but doers of Your Word. And Lord, will You ever be grateful if You'd just come and sit with us tonight and speak to us. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. So we see here that Ruth had lost her husband. She's lost her father-in-law. And she's lost a brother-in-law. And so Ruth is from the land of Moab. Moab was, of course, if you go back in Genesis, you study that was one of Lot's sons. And, of course, it was a bad way of coming about. Moab was a son of incest, that when Lot was with his daughter, and a horrible story. And so as you study Moab and you begin to see that Chemosh, their god there was a god that the way they worshiped this god was that they would bring infants before them and put them on a sacrifice and burn their own children. And so Moab was a horrible place, and it was a place in the desert. And by the way, it was not a desert place just physically speaking, it was a desert place spiritually speaking. And so Ruth Orpha was from the land of Moab, from a place that was a land of Gentiles. They were not Jewish, of Jewish descent. So as Moab was this place where the god of Chemosh was worshipped, and he was worshipped by them sacrificing their infants to them, so when she comes and she says, Naomi, I want your God to be my God, that was a different change for her. That was almost a repenting of turning away from the god of Moab and saying, you know what, Naomi, your God's going to be my God, and I'm going to serve your God now. And wherever you go, I'm going to go. And where you die, I'm going to die. And so we see the story begin to unfold and unravel Matter of fact, if you go back and study the life of Solomon, Solomon had a few wives. Can you imagine the alimony payments he had to pay? But because of one of his wives was from Moab, he began to worship this same God. He built an altar to this God that was there. And so we see that Moab had the pull and had the worship of this false God. And by the way, there's false gods in America today. We always think we got to go to a third world country to find false gods, but they're all over us. It's just that we don't want to call them gods. Amen. We want it to be a tomb to, or a shrine to Buddha or Muhammad or one of those. But you know what? There's things that me and you put before God, and it becomes an idol. It becomes another little G God in our life, and we need to be careful at that. And so we see that whenever Naomi and Elimelech, and their two sons, they left Bethlehem, which is the house of bread, because why? There was a famine in the land. There was a famine in the land, and where did they go? They went to Moab. They were just going to travel through there and pass by, but guess what? You know the story. They continued there. They spent, we know, 10 years there, and their sons married the daughters of Moab. And by the way, you spent enough time in seeing the next generation to be right there in it too. And that's what's happening in our world today. That's why churches are dying out, because the one generation went and played in sin and stayed in sin and continued in sin, and their children have married into that sin, and their children have lived in that sin. And so now we have a generation that knows not God. And so we see that even in our world today. By the way, I read this, a physical famine is better than a spiritual famine. It's better to stay in the country where God wants you. It's better to stay in a place where God wants you than to go looking for a better job or going looking for bread in another place. Because guess what? That was the land of sin, and they knew that. The God of that world was a God that they sacrificed children to. God, help us today that we stay where God wants us to stay. But I look and I see Ruth as a Gentile, a Moabite, who would not have ever known the law of God. She was not from that country. She was not Jewish. She wouldn't have understood really the laws of the Jewish people. But she did, through somehow, whether Naomi taught her this, she knew the law that she could go and glean in a field, because they had to leave the corners of the field. And she comes and she finds this field and the man of that field, Boaz. I want us to look at Ruth and Boaz tonight as a great picture of Christ and His church. Christ is our kinsman redeemer, amen? We're a Gentile people, and that's what Ruth was. She was a Gentile. And guess what? Boaz was a Jew. He was the kinsman redeemer. And we're going to look at the life of Ruth and see how she found kindness by the kinsman. Let's look again, if you will. I'll show you three things tonight through the Scripture. Verses 1 through 3. Let's look at that, if you will. I want you to notice it says that Naomi had a kinsman of her husband's, a mighty man of wealth. I like that. Amen. That's the one I'm looking for Shelby, amen? I'm just kidding. I was listening to a sermon the other day, and they were talking about how, you know, back in the old days, they prearranged marriages. Amen. I mean, you know, daddy picked out the wife, and I'm thinking about going back to that, amen. And it's called no husband for your daughter, right? Just keep her around, no? And then you don't get grandbabies, so... You start looking at this Scripture. Notice what it says, a mighty man of wealth in a family of Elimelech, and his name was what? Boaz. And then verse 2 says, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go. Notice that. She says, let me now go to the field and glean ears of corn after him in whose sight I shall find grace. And she said unto her, go, my daughter. And she went and came and gleaned. Notice this, in the field after the reapers. And her hap was to lie on the part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was of the kindred of Elimelech. I want to, number one, show you her searching, Ruth's searching. Her searching. What was Ruth searching for? There's two things she was searching for. Number one, she was searching for food. She was hungry. Her and her mother-in-law, by the way, this is an amazing story that a daughter-in-law would want to stay with a mother-in-law. That's a miracle of God right there. I mean, she didn't have to go with her. She could have stayed in her own country. She could have stayed with her people. She could have. But no, because of God's providence, amen, and because the seed of Christ was going to be passed down through Boaz and Ruth, is that God had a plan in this. By the way, God has a plan in all of our lives. And we must let God be God and let Him direct our life. And so we see her searching. She's searching, number one, for food. She was hungry. Notice verse 2 again. It says that she was looking for ears of corn. By the way, what she was searching for is not what she got. Nowhere do you see where she ended up with ears of corn. She ended up with wheat and barley. You know what? Sometimes we go searching, and sometimes we even pray this way. We pray a certain way, and that's not God's will. But you know what? We go. We search for what God's will is in our life. There's too many people today sitting on the couch trying to figure out God's will. By the way, you'll never find God's will sitting on the couch. You'll never figure out. By the way, we meet a lot of people. If you're in this crowd tonight, you're one of the ones that go visiting, and you visit the people that say, well, we're looking for a church, but we hadn't been to church in the last 2 years. God's just going to come by your house and pick you up and lift you and put you in a church. So that's not going to happen. You got to go searching for it. You got to hunger. And by the fact, if you go to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, he says, he that hungereth and thirsteth after righteousness shall be filled. Hey, he's searching for it. He's looking for it. And Ruth was searching for that food. She was searching for what she needed for her physical body and for her mother-in-law. Then the second thing she was looking for, and we see this in verse 2 and verse 13, she was looking for favor. Notice again in verse 2, it says, and Ruth the Moabitess said unto Naomi, let me now go in the field and glean ears of corn. Notice this, in whose sight, of whom sight I shall find grace. That's favor. She said, I hope that when I get to that field. Why was she looking for favor? Remember, she's a Gentile. She was a Moabitess in a Jewish world now, in Israelite world. And guess what was going to happen is that Moabite was a stranger. We'll see that here in the scriptures, that she was a stranger in this land. They had to let her glean in the corner of the field. But by the way, they didn't have to let her take of the sheaves and didn't have to leave the handfuls of purpose. And we'll see that she found favor in the sight of Boaz. Now I want to show you the second thing tonight. Notice this, if you will. The second thing, we see, number one, her searching. Number two, we see her serving. Notice again, verse 7. Notice down in verse 7 it says, and she said, I pray you, let me glean and gather after the reapers among the sheaves. So she came and have continued even from morning until now. She tarried a little in the house. That's amazing to me. It's because here's our world today. By the fact, the welfare system in this day worked. The welfare system in our world today doesn't work. I'm sorry, but I believe the Bible that if a man doesn't work, he shouldn't get a paycheck. He shouldn't eat. And so we see that she was willing to serve, even though she didn't have anything, even though she didn't have a parcel of land that she could go to, even though she didn't have a family, a husband that would care for her. She said, you know what, I'm just going to go work. I'm just going to go serve God. I'm just going to go serve my mother-in-law. And she went in and she began to work. And we see two things. Her, number one, she was willing. She was willing. She told Naomi, she said, let me go, please. I want to go work for you. That ought to be our desire, to go work for the Lord. We ought to be willing to work for the Lord. By the way, it shouldn't be where we have to pull you and tug on you and push you and write you letters and call. You should be willing to serve the Lord, willing to serve in any capacity that you can, whether it's on your knees praying, whether it's in the Sunday school, whether it's in a soul winning, whatever it may be, we ought to be willing to go. She was willing not only to serve, but she was willing to leave her family and to stay with her mother-in-law. We see the number B underneath that she was a worker. I like that. Verse 7 says she continued even from morning until now. And I like that next part, that she tarried a little in the house. In other words, when the other reapers were in the house taking a big break, she went in there and got a cup of water and came back out. She was a worker. By the way, that's the way we ought to be. There's going to be times in our life where we're going to need to just step out by faith and just go work. By the way, if you study this story, Ruth didn't know where she was necessarily going to go and who she was necessarily going to meet. And she didn't know what she was going to glean from. She didn't know if she was going to have anything, but she went anyway. And there's so many people today that say, I've got faith, but they're not willing to step out. They're not willing to go and search for what God has for them. And Ruth, if you study the book of Ruth, it's a search of grace. She was searching for grace and she was searching for that favor. And she found it. She found it in the man that was the kinsman redeemer. And I believe tonight, if you study the life of Ruth, you'll see your life in her. Is that there's going to be times you're just going to have to step out there. And you're not going to know where to go, what to do. By the way, you studied the life of Abraham. Abraham rose up early, didn't know where he was going necessarily, and God showed him where to go. Hey, that's the life of a Christian, is faith, is faith. And Ruth had faith. She just stepped out there and said, you know, I'm going to go to this field, and I hope that just on the corners there's enough that I can gather. And I don't know if you, I was raised in Florida. We were raised right behind, there was a cotton field, and then there was a wheat field. And then, and I used to go out there because I always wanted to pick cotton. You know, I always heard these, you know, everybody, the old timers say, I pick cotton. I got a hand, you know. I was like, I can do that. I went out there and, you know, I was going to pick cotton. I got about two of them. My fingers were bleeding. I was like, I'm done with that. Let that come by and get that stuff off there now. But whenever wheat season was, they would plant that wheat out there, and we'd go out there and you could grab a handful of that stuff and you could beat it out and you wouldn't have just a little bit of wheat in your hand. It would take a lot of wheat to make an ephod full. It would take time and it would take work, and she was willing to work. And once you got all of the wheat together or the barley together, you had to beat it so that the barley would fall off or the wheat would fall off. And she would have to work at this. And by the way, God's not going to bless us unless we're willing to work. And Pastor said this the other day, why is God blessing our church so much? It's because we work at it. And the problem with a lot of other churches is that they're just sitting around waiting on God just to show up and say, hey, here it is. But God doesn't work that way. God works when we work. And then sometimes He works when we don't. I'm glad of that too. But the blessings of God, and God wants to bless our life, and we can say we got faith, but if we're sitting in the chair just going, well, here I am, God doesn't bless that. I heard this one time. Who would God bless more? A farmer, he's out there, and his ground is all grassed over, all weeded over, and he goes out there and he prays and says, God, please bless my garden. I'm going to be planting this huge field. And he prays and he goes back in the house and watches TV. Or is it the guy that goes outside and prays and says, God, I'm about to go out and I'm going to till this ground. I'm going to turn it up, but I want you to give the increase. That's the one God's going to bless. It's the one who goes out. And that's true faith. True faith is going out there and preparing that soil and getting it ready. And so we see in the life of Ruth is that she went out and she worked. I like people that work. I don't like to work necessarily. I don't think there's anybody here that just says, woohoo! I like working 100 hours a week. But you know what? After you're done working, aren't you glad that you did? Don't you look back at it and say, you know what? I thank God that I was able to accomplish something this week for the glory of God. I'm glad that I get a paycheck at the end of that week. I'm glad I did that. Whenever me and my wife, we were between ministries, so to speak, and I took an ambulance job and I worked 96 hours a week for about a month. I'm going to tell you what, that was tough. I worked 24-hour shifts back to back. I'm telling you what, 96 hours is a long time to be doing that kind of job. But you know what? At the end of the week, it was like, well, I'm glad I did. I'm glad I did. I'm glad I didn't have to do it very long. But you know what? God provided. God used that to provide for me and my family. And I was willing to do that. I was willing to step out and say, you know what? Hey, I don't necessarily have a job, and so I got to do something. And you know what? The Lord opened doors. And it always seems that God opens doors right on time. Now, sometimes you're going, hello? Hello? Yeah, right? That happens. But you know what? You don't stop. You don't stop and start to soak in all the air conditioning in your home. You just keep going. You keep searching for God's will in your life. And you keep going. You keep going. We see that the last thing tonight, we see her Savior. Who was it? Verse 5 tells us, notice that. Said, then said Boaz unto his servants, that was set over the reapers, whose damsel is this? By the way, I don't think he said it. Who is that? I don't think that's what he said. I believe it was love at first sight. I believe he said, whose damsel is that? Whew. I believe that's right, because that's what happened. It was love at first sight. They loved each other. I believe that with all my heart, you know. I believe he asked the guys, you know, I've been around guys long enough, unmarried guys long enough, that who is that? Whew. Man. Oh, that's the Moabitess. And you know what would have happened whenever that would have been said? Usually, we better watch her. That's what would happen. You know why? Because they didn't want the Moabites mixing with the Jewish people because of the God. the God of the Moabites didn't match up with the God of Israel and the God of the Jews. And so what would have happened usually is that they would have said, hey, keep a watch on her. And matter of fact, if you study the scripture, he told them in verse 9, he said, hey, don't you touch her. Hey, you know what that tells me is that normally probably that if that was not the case, is that maybe they would abuse this lady. If he wouldn't have said, hey, don't touch her. Don't give her the best part. But notice, if you will, I love the scripture. He says in verse 10, notice again, verse 10, he says, and then she fell on her face and bowed herself to the ground, and said unto him, why have I found grace in thine eyes, that thou shouldest take knowledge of me, seeing I'm a stranger? And Boaz answered and said unto her, It has fully been showed unto me, notice this, me, all that thou hast done unto thy mother-in-law since the death of thine husband, and how thou hast left thy father and thy mother, and the land of thy nativity, and art come unto a people which thou knewest not hereunto. Verse 12, and the Lord recompense thy work, and a full reward be given thee of the Lord God of Israel. The Lord God of Israel, not the God of Moab. The Lord God of Israel, under whose wings thou art come to trust. Notice that Ruth had trusted in the Lord. She was trusting in the Lord. She was not trusting in necessarily her work. She was not trusting in necessarily the God. She was not trusting in the God of Naomi necessarily. She was trusting in her own God. Now she was coming and was under the wings of God herself. We see two things about her Savior. She received kindness. Verse 20 shows us that. Naomi said unto her, daughter-in-law, blessed be he of the Lord who hath left off his kindness to the living and to the dead. And Naomi said unto her, the man is near of kin unto us, one of our next kinsmen. Woohoo! That's good news. Why? Because he's able to redeem you, Ruth. He's able to take and to buy the land of your parents and able to take all of that. And guess what? You're going to be a part of Boaz's family. You're going to be grafted into the Jewish nation, so to speak. And through Boaz and through Ruth, Obed's going to come. And then Obed's going to have a son. And his name's going to be Jesse. And then Jesse's going to have a son. And his son's going to be named David, King of the Jews, King of Israel. Tell me God doesn't make mistakes, people. And we see this story, and I'm telling you, he said, I want you to let some handfuls fall on purpose. I begin to study that. If you study the sheaves here, if you've ever looked in the old country, they would take wheat or they would take barley and they would tie it. They would bundle it up and tie it up, and that would be the sheaves they would leave out there. And they would go out there and they said, let her glean among those. But then he said after that, after she gleans among the sheaves there, he said, when you reach into your apron, let some handfuls fall out. I began to study that, and I got excited when I studied that. You know why? Because handfuls already shows us that it was already beat out and already ready to go. It wasn't in the bundles anymore. Somebody had taken a bundle of that wheat or that barley, had taken that barley and they had beat all the barley out of it. They had gotten the chaff away from it. And the handfuls of purpose was that was already prepared for her. All she had to do was put it in her apron. All she had to do was go back to mother-in-law and say, look what God did for me. You know what? It started out that she was willing to work. She was willing to go. She was willing to go to that field. She said, you know what? I'm not just going to stand here and let us die of hunger. I'm going to go find food. She found food. She found favor. We see that through her searching, there she is, and we see her serving. We see that she was willing. She was willing to do the work. By the way, God doesn't make us do anything. And I'm glad of that. We make our kids do stuff. Right? And you know why I make my kids do stuff? Because I'm daddy. Right? And because things need to be done. You know why? Because hopefully when they grow up that they'll want to do it. And you know what? I serve my parents now because I want to do it. I serve my mom. I serve my dad because I want to. Used to, they had to make me do it. You know what? When we go to my parents' house now, I see that trash can starting to get overflow. There's something around here that starts hurting whenever I neglect it. Whenever I look at it and I go, hopefully somebody else see it. Just something back here starts just hurting. You know what I do now? I look at that and I go over there and I tie it up. I take it out to the dumpster. I put it in the dumpster. I put another bag in there. You know why I do that? Because I want to serve my parents now. I want to do that. When I see that mess in the floor, I want to clean that up now. Why? Because used to, they'd have to make me. When I heard Michael Don, that's my middle name now, you know it. Michael Don? Hey. I knew I was either in trouble or I didn't do something, which was one and the same. Amen? And then, as time goes on, and I'm now 37 years old, I want to serve my parents. Yeah. Ruth wanted to serve. She was willing to serve. She was willing to go. She was willing to work. She was a worker. She went there from the morning to the evening time. She was working. She was working. She took small breaks. She'd go in that house and said she took just a little time there. And she'd go back out and she'd work. Why? Because she had a purpose for working. Hey, we got a purpose for working. We're working for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We're working for Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. We're working for the greatest God of all and the only God. We have a purpose tonight. He's our Savior. And as Ruth came into this field, she didn't know that she was going to run across somebody who could redeem her. But she did. By the way, it's good to be where God wants you. Because that's where God works at. I wonder how many times in my life I missed God's will and I missed God's blessings because I wasn't where I was supposed to be. And by the fact that I can go back in my life and tell you that when those times were, you start looking around, you're like, where's God at? And you start saying, where's the blessings of God? And now I find out, hey, I'm in the wrong spot. God's always in the right spot. God's always waiting on us where His will is. And thank God for His grace. And He gives us grace and mercy when we're not doing right. But He wants to bless us. Maybe He wants to pour out His blessings on you tonight. But you're not where you're supposed to be. You're not in the field you're supposed to be in. And the Savior is waiting. She received kindness. She received a kinsman. We see that in verses 20 through 23. That Ruth and Boaz were meant for each other. By the way, that was not an accident. Go back to verse 3. There's something here that I've read and I've read and I've read. And then, I'm telling you, it's amazing. The Bible's just a great book. Notice verse 3. And she went and came. Notice that. She went and came and gleaned in the field after the reapers and her hap. That happenstance, that was her happenstance, but guess what? It wasn't to God. That, if you look up the word hap, it means fate or it means a happenstance that it happened to work, but guess what? Hey, that was her hap. That was not God's hap because God had a purpose in this. And to her, hey, she was just going. She was just willing to go. She was just working. But God had a plan. You may not understand what's going on in your life right now. Some of you may not even be understanding this message right now. From looks I'm getting, sometimes I do that. But you start thinking, God, I don't know what you're doing in my life. You ever been there? You ever been in that place in your life where you're just like, God, I don't know what you're doing? Listen to me, this is not what you do. You don't close your Bible and close your heart and close your mind and close your spiritualness. Say, God, I'm just going to wait. Wait it out. That's not what we do. We just keep working. We just keep going. By the way, there's some things we know to do. Read our Bible, pray, witness, come to church, come to church, come to church, come to church. Listen to me tonight. Ruth is a great example of me and you. Is that we may not know what God's doing in our life, but we just go and we should be where God wants us to be. And guess what's going to happen? Our Savior is going to show up on that scene. And He's going to come and He's going to bless. Notice that she was able, you read through the verses we read the first there, the verses 13 through 16, is that He let her go in with the reapers. He let her sit with the maidens there. He let her be part of the team. And He brought her in and He treated her like she was part of His team. And she brought Him in and said, hey, eat what we're eating. Drink what we're drinking. You just become one of us. And I'm glad that my Savior did that. Even though I was a castaway, even though I was away from God and I didn't know God. I'm glad that one day when Michael Wiggins turned his back on this world and the gods of this world and I turned to my Savior and I said, Lord Jesus, please save me, forgive me my sins at an old-fashioned altar. I'm glad that God said, you know what, welcome to the family. Glad to be a part of the family of God. And I'm glad that every now and then the Lord just reaches into His bountifulness and He lays some handfuls of purpose down for me. Whew, I like those. Don't you like when you're just walking around in God's will? This is me. This is me. Walk around God's will and you don't even know you're there yet. You ever been there? And you're thinking, Lord, I don't know what's going on, but I'm just going to keep trusting You. And then all of a sudden you stumble over a pile of handfuls of purpose. And you say, "Ooh, thank You, Lord." Put that. You keep going and you find grace in the sight of the Savior, the Kinsman Redeemer. You find that kindness from Him. And you're walking around in the will of God. And listen to me, you may not have the best car, the best house, but I'm going to tell you, God's blessings are going to pour out. And you're going to find handfuls of purposes along the path of God's will. And you just reach and pick them up because why? You're going to need them. I wish the Christian life was always a mountaintop. But we would never know there was a mountaintop unless there was a valley. And yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. Why? Because the Lord, He's there. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He said, I'm with you all the way. And even though the storm clouds, and even though it may seem that death is hovering overhead, I'm there. Just sometimes we got to look and we got to see those handfuls of purpose that God is putting on our path and just reach down and pick them up and say, Lord, thank You. I needed that today. By the way, I find a lot of blessings just reading the Bible. Don't you love it when you read your Bible in the morning and you read that Scripture and you go, I don't know what that means. Maybe y'all don't do that, but I do. Amen, Brother Clark, me and you. I'm going, that's a weird verse. I'll read the rest of it tomorrow. Then about midway through your day, you're going, oh, could everything go wrong today? And then all of a sudden, your mind goes back to that Scripture you read that morning. And God says, here's what that Scripture means to you. By the way, Scripture is relevant to our every situation. That's it. Well, I can't understand the Bible. Well, there's a lot of it I can't understand. But you know what? I can understand it when I need to understand it. Let that mull over a little bit. By the way, the blessings of God sometimes is just me looking at my family and going, wow. Man, I sure don't deserve to be a dad. I sure have messed up a lot of being a father. Amen. But you know what? I'm glad God's grace is sufficient. I'm glad that I can find favor in my kinsman redeemer. I'm glad that I can go to His field and say, Lord, I just come to glean today on Your blessings. Why? Because, hey, listen, I mess up all the time and my attitude's wrong a lot of times, but sometimes I just look at my wife, I look at my family and I go, wow, I'm blessed. I'm blessed beyond all measure. Sometimes I get a little discouraged. I know y'all don't, but I get a little discouraged. I just look at my church family and go, wow, I'm so blessed. Sometimes leading this choir, I'm telling you, sometimes I have the worst morning, worst day of my life, and it seems like sometimes I come to this choir and I just hear them sing, and sometimes they think that they're just practicing a song, but really they're singing to me. And I go, Lord, thank You for that song. So blessed. Sometimes God just reaches in His coffers. He just pulls out that handful of blessings for you. That's on purpose, by the way. Everything that God does is on purpose. When He saved you, it wasn't an accident. Well, there's Roberta Armstrong. I didn't know she was going to get... No, that was on purpose. And God, whenever we look at Ruth, when Ruth said, I just had her hat, that she just happened to go by there. Hey, listen to me. That was not a happenstance. That was God's will all the time. That in the verse, if you go over and you read chapter 4, you see where she was redeemed. Why? Because the other kinsman redeemer, he could have redeemed her, but he didn't want to because he was afraid that he would lose his inheritance. But we see Boaz said, I don't care. He said, I'm going to take Ruth. And guess what? Ruth became his inheritance. By the way, the Bible says that we are the inheritance of God. Tonight, I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what your situation is in life. I don't know what your lot is in life. But I do know this, is that God is still God and God is always in control. Even when we lose control, God never does. I was driving to Burnet one day from here, and I was almost in Weatherford. I was in my Dodge truck, my old one, and I had to go back to Burnet for some reason. And I left that day, and it was raining kind of like it was today. And I set my cruise on my truck, and I was going up a hill, and I was almost there at the Chevrolet place there in Weatherford. Never will forget it. And there was those, you know, cable things in between me and the other lanes. I'm going along there, and my truck was kind of going up a hill, and my truck only has like 280,000 miles on it, and it, you know, it has to get a little mental momentum sometimes. And I remember that gas kicking in. You know, my cruise control was on, and I was going up a hill. My accelerator went like that when it did. I spun this way, and I looked at those cables and said, "Well, here we go." I turned it back this way, and I went back, and I was looking at the lady next to me. She was driving beside me, and I'm telling you, I turned just like this, and I was like, I didn't wave at her, trust me. But I can tell you, me and her looked at each other like, uh-oh. I turned it back, and I was in my lane going straight. I pulled over at the next exit. Thank God there was a Walmart there. You got it. But I'm going to tell you what, you know what I did? When I lost control, God didn't lose control. I was fighting that steering wheel. It looked like I was fighting bees in there. I'm telling you what, I was doing all this in there, and I'm telling you what, God the whole time was in control. He just had to remind me that He's not my co-pilot, that He's my pilot. And He reminded Ruth time and time again that, hey, I'm in control of this situation. He had Boaz there the whole time. God never loses control. God never loses a sight of us. He's always there, and He's wanting to bless us tonight. Maybe He's wanting to bless you. Let's stand tonight. Heads bowed, eyes closed. We'll pray. We'll sing a verse of invitation here in just a moment. Father, we love You. Lord, I don't know where everybody's at tonight. Lord, I don't know the trials and the troubles they're going through. But Lord, I do know You. That God, You're always in control. Lord, that You said You never leave us nor forsake us. Thank You for the story of Ruth and the story of Boaz. Lord, even though Naomi got bitter, Ruth just went ahead and searched for Your will, and she found it. And Lord, through Ruth, Naomi became sweet again. She got her life back in order because Ruth was willing to go. Lord, maybe us going and searching for Your will and finding favor may not even be for us. It may be for those around us, our families. Maybe so You can bless our families, our church. Lord, whatever the need is tonight, You know where everybody's at. I ask that You just maybe just remind some folks that You're there. Lord, that You've not lost control. Lord, maybe tonight You'd reach into Your coffers. And Lord, that You'd just pull out some handfuls of purpose and lay it along the path for these people here tonight. We love You and we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.